of the qualities of a mu'min, and especially that of a dervish, is to be courageous. Now, does being courageous mean to be fearless? Is there anybody here who has not been afraid, and who at this point is not afraid of anything? If there is, raise your hand. So what are we afraid of most? What are we afraid of most?
Death.
Well?
Death.
What?
Diseases,
the unknown.
Ölüm, hastalıklar.
Punishment.
Ceza.
Ceza.
Animals.
What?
The unknown.
Animals.
The unknown.
Animals. Hayvanlardan.
Kim dedi? Kim korkuyormuş hayvanlardan?
Sübegim'in çocukları korkuyor.
Leaving this world and nobody cares.
İnsanlardan kork.
Dying alone.
Yalnız ölmekten korkuyor.
I think the common answer, most probably for all of us, is the fear of death. And that is one thing sure in our lives that it's going to happen. Now, when one or you are afraid of death, what are you exactly afraid of?
Bilinmezlik. Bilinmezlik dedi.
Ne dedi?
Bilinmemek, bilmemek. Ha? Ne olacağını bilmemek.
Ah. So what you are afraid of, most of us, unless we are totally stupid, and we are afraid of the pain of death, it seems somebody told me, although my wife said it's not true, but then she hasn't died, so she doesn't know, that it seems to give birth is much worse. The pain when you are giving birth is much worse than the worst kind of pain which one can feel during dying. And I have seen people dying. Some of them died absolutely no pain whatsoever. I mean, they just closed their eyes and they were gone. Yeah. So then what we are afraid of really, truly, is what will happen after death? And what is exactly you are afraid of what may happen after death?
Yeah.
Are you afraid? Maybe that's it. Yeah, that there is nothing after. Or are you afraid of the what the Quran and the Hadith says? Because there is certain things which will happen before the last day of last judgment in the grave. It is said that your good deeds are going to be pleasant companions in the tomb, and every ayat and every surah you know will be a lamp lighting the darkness in the tomb, and or the opposite, that if you haven't been a good person during this life, there are all sorts of tortures already in the tomb. And then of course there is, I think that those who are really devout and intelligent is afraid what is going to happen when we will give an accounting on the day of last judgment. Now, this is the ultimate fear, which unfortunately we do not fear too often, too much, because although many people which we have known, our grandparents, our parents, and people who we know, especially when you come to my age, that there is nobody anymore who I know, they are all dead. No? Mm. But in spite of that, I do not remember it every day as I should. But many of us who are younger than I, you seldom think of death so that you would be afraid of. Now, beyond the ultimate fear of death, which more or less is common to all, there are other fears, and all not concerning now, but concerning the future. I mean, at this point, right now, are we afraid of anything? Right now? No. We are in a safe place, amongst friends, we have nothing to fear. But left to ourselves, we are afraid of losing things which we have. We are afraid of losing our children, our wives, our husbands, our parents, our jobs, our money in the bank, our car, and this, and that, and the other. And then, we are afraid of the things which we need, which we may not get. I've got a pimple somewhere, you know, which may not get cured, you know, or I have got cancer, which may not get cured. You know, I have entered an exam which I may not have passed. No? Do you understand? Either to lose something or you need something and you are afraid that you are not going to get it back. Who is afraid of Allah?
I'm afraid of Allah. I'm afraid I lose His love.
Allah says, if you believe, fear me. Surah after surah, ayat after ayat, hadith after after hadith, we are asked to fear Allah. Now we are all Muslims, and hopefully we do 5 times prayer. Hopefully we fast. Hopefully we pay our zakat. Hopefully we don't eat pork or drink wine. Hopefully we don't gamble or debauch or commit adultery or steal or kill. That makes us almost an angel, doesn't it? So I mean, why should I fear Allah? Astaghfirullah. Yeah, I am a good Muslim. As much as I know, I practice my Islam, not only the formal side of it, but even the morality of Islam to the best I can. I do it. I try to be kind and forgiving and compassionate and generous. I try not to break hearts. I tried not to lie and not to cheat. Well, I should be able to pass the test on the day of Yawm al-Din, and I should be going to Jannah. But I forget that Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was in Jannah. I mean, how much more do you want to be secure fearless? You know, you're already in Jannah. What happened to him? He got kicked out. Shaitan al-Ayin, some say he was a jinn, but the ones who know say he was an angel. And in fact, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went up the Miraj, you know, he passed some palaces made out of jewels but in ruins. He asked Jibril alayhi salam, whose palace was that? Which prophet? You know, which angel? Ah, it belonged to Harith. That is what Shaitan al-Layin was called when he was an angel or a jinn. In each of these palaces in high heaven, Jibril alayhi salam said to Rasulullah, he prayed 10,000 years here, 20,000 years there, 30,000 years there. Harith means ambitious. So he was ambitious for the approval of Allah Ta'ala, and he exaggerated his prayers. Now we, just because make 5 times a prayer, you know, the way we do it, and we think that we are ready for paradise, but it really didn't help. Shaitan the lion did it. All what he did is when Allah asked him to prostrate in front of Adam alayhi salam, he refused. And when Allah asked, why did he refuse? He says, well, you created me out of fire and you created him out of earth, and fire is superior to earth. Slight arrogance, a lot of stupidity. Yeah. One, disobedience to Allah Ta'ala got him condemned for the rest of time till eternity. And when precisely he was kicked from the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, Jibril alayhi salam was crying. Jibril alayhi salam. In fact, I think Mikhail alayhi salam was also crying. Allah Ta'ala asked them, "Why are you crying? Are you sad that I kicked him out?" They said, "No. We are afraid that it may also happen to us." Said Jibril alayhi salam, not too soon. So if Jibril alayhi salam up in heaven is afraid that what happened to Shaitan al-Ain can happen to him, what should we be afraid of may happen to us? When I asked, "Are you afraid of Allah Ta'ala?" some of you sort of put your hands up like that. If you say yes, if we say yes, we are lying. Because if we truly are afraid of Allah Ta'ala, we wouldn't be even sitting. Now we would be standing. Because Allah is everywhere and we are in the presence of Allah Ta'ala. When we would be talking, we would be unable to talk with the fear of saying the wrong thing. When we would be thinking, we would be afraid of thinking the wrong thing, which we don't. So when we say that we fear Allah Ta'ala, we are lying. If we say we don't fear Allah Ta'ala, then we are kafirs. What is the first condition of the one who wishes and tries to fear Allah Ta'ala? That first condition is consciousness and heedfulness, to be awake, to know what one is doing, what one is thinking, what one is saying, to be responsible. Two, to be knowledgeable, to know what Allah Ta'ala wants us to do and do it, and to know but Allah Ta'ala wants us not to do it and not do it. Neither are we heedful and conscious all the time, nor do we know all what we are supposed to do and what we are not supposed to do, nor even if we know what we are supposed to do, we don't do it. And even if we know what we are supposed to not do it, not do it. So, Allah Ta'ala says that He is what we think of Him. Now, we think someone who is feared of, astaghfirullah, is a wrathful and a mean entity, and he is out to hit us on the head and punish us. In fact, most of us, when we think about the fear of Allah, we think that He is going to punish us, and that is what we are afraid of. Our salvation Our success in our lives here on this planet and our success in the hereafter in paradise depends on our closeness to the one who created us, who feeds us, who loves us, and who takes care of us. That is what our success in this life, our happiness in this life, and our success in the hereafter depend on. And the fear, the true fear, should be that this connection between the created and the Creator would be broken. The umbilical cord would be cut. That Allah Ta'ala says to us that He does not know us. That He tells us, go ahead and do whatever you wish to do. You are none of my concern anymore. That is the real fear. That is the fear of the true believer and the true Muslim. To be kicked out from the station of being Abdullah, the servant of Allah Ta'ala. Now, the servant of Allah Ta'ala, or the servant to anyone, is someone who is totally dependent on the master. He is dependent on the air which he breathes, on the water which he drinks, on the water, on the food which he eats, on everything which keeps him alive and which keeps him active. A servant is dependent on the master. He is in complete need of him. He needs none but him. He doesn't go to anyone else except to him when he needs something. He is the one who says many times a day when he makes his prayer, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. I have no master which I obey except you, and I have no one to ask when I need something but you. Do you, when you recite Surah Fatiha, stop a second or two when you say Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in? That is the connection, that is the key. That is when you are talking to Allah Ta'ala and He responds to you indeed. In the ayat He says, you ask and I will give. But we are self-sufficient, aren't we? We can get ourselves what we need, can't we? May Allah have mercy on us.
Ameen.
And may Allah Ta'ala wake us up from the sleep of heedlessness.
Ameen.
And make us see the real reality.
Ameen.
Ameen. Prayer is not five times a day. It's much more often than that. Because although we would like to think that we are self-sufficient, we can do things, we can achieve things, we can satisfy our own needs. How often during the day we are annoyed? I think of myself, how often I call myself stupid and get very angry at myself. I drop things, I spill my coffee, I do all sorts of things which anybody with any intelligence, with any control or any discipline should never be able to do. Either I am a special idiot, or you people don't admit that you are no less idiots than I am. So many times a day, when you realize that, you are saying, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Really. I talked about prayer on Friday. There is a hadith. It's a hadith you could see. Allah Ta'ala says that the condition of the acceptance of your prayer, no matter how great is what you are asking for, I mean, almost like raising the dead, you know, that kind of a thing you are asking Him, is not done in your prayer by including ayats and hadiths. In fact, a prayer expressed by words is worthless. It is the state in which you are. The state of desperate need. That if you don't have this, you are going to die or worse. An absolute faith that no one, but no one, possibly can help you with this situation except Him. If you are in that state, if you don't say a word, and you just turn and look, you get what you receive, says Hadith Qudsi. One day, a woman came to Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, Quddus Sirrah al-Fattahi, and said, Ya Shaykh, please make dua for me so that my son comes back to me. My son is lost, said she, and I can't sleep anymore. I don't have anybody else. This is only, I've got my son, that's it. Woman, said the Shaykh, go home and be patient. The woman was respectful to the Shaykh and really thought highly of him. She said, okay. She went home and she showed patience. She suffered, but she showed patience. After a while, she came back. The Shaykh said that I can't be patient anymore. Please make a dua for my son to come back. Woman, go back home and show patience. Poor woman went back again. For a while, she somehow achieved to survive, came back again. And this went on for a while. And finally she came one day, said, "Ya Sheikh, I can't do it anymore. I have no patience anymore. You know, I am dying for yearning my son. You know, please make a dua so that my son comes back." "Woman," said he, "go back home. Your son is at home." The woman went home and the son was there. So it is the state that there is no where to go anymore, that you are absolutely in need of the thing which you are asking for Allah Ta'ala. You don't have to say anything, just to be in that state and you will receive what you need. And at the end of the khutbah I said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that dua is the foundation, is the nucleus, is the essence of worship. The reason that it is the foundation of worship is the state of fakr, the state of being in need. None of us in this room at this moment we feel we are in need. We are comparatively in good health. Even Hatija can breathe better today. So can I. We may have little pains and aches, but it is bearable, and decide there is always the aspirin. It's a bit cold outside, the spring isn't here, but I've got my sweater on, got the roof over our heads. There is light in the room. We ate pretty well tonight. We made our prayers. We're not in need. We have everything what we need, we think. Well, you could be the king of the world. You could be the richest of the world. You could be a strong and in fantastic health like Atlas. You would be stricken dead in a second, hit by a car or anything. And all what you have can disappear in a second. But we don't think of it that way. So, if you could really not be fooled by our imagination of that we are self-sufficient and we do not need anything, which by the way is the greatest trick or our egos, and if you realize that you are in desperate need, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he is proud of his fakr, of his being poor, of his being in need. If you feel the same way as he does, then you will get everything what you need, because that will be the greatest acceptable dua. Salaamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Demek Mayıs'ta gidiyorsun.
Yok, Mayıs'ta sadece iki haftalığına gideceğim. Görüşmek için üniversitelerle. Büyük ihtimalle Ağustos, Eylül gibi.
Eyvallah. Yani gidiyoruz. İnşallah. What a nice outfit. There comes another one. There comes another one. O yolladığım şeyi aldın, e-mail aldın mı? İnşallah hayırlı olur evladım. Hem memleket için hayırlı olur, hem senin için hayırlı olur. Memleketimiz güllük gülistanlık. Dediğim gibi ben hala 60 senedir buradayım, hala alışamadım. Ha, git keyfine bak. İnşallah Allah her işini iyi yürütür. Dediğim gibi asithanemiz orada. Büyükşehir Efendi orada. Biz de buradayız. Bizi de unutma. Gene yazarsın, çizersin. Git. Burada hayır yok. Ablanın orada tercümanı vardı.
Güzide yapıyor, Allah razı olsun.
Maşallah. Salih Baba'yla we were talking with Salih Baba earlier, that I mean in some of the requests which we do to Allah Ta'ala, that we wouldn't even be able to tell that to our wives. You know, I mean, it's sort of so personal, so sometimes embarrassing. I mean, I have a problem on my behind, sort of, which hurts me when I sit. So, I mean, when I tell that to Allah Ta'ala to cure me of that pain, I mean, it's extremely intimate, don't you think?
Very.
I mean, that
Allah,
how much closer can you get to somebody, you know, who you could, like I always say, amongst ourselves, some people are very private, that they want to see me in private, you know, because they've got something to private to tell me. I don't see anybody in private anymore, and I tell them, look, I mean, we know each other's hemorrhoids. I remember in the Hajj, Efendi told me, well, you cannot help me because you haven't seen my behind. You know, Muzaffar Efendi rahmetullahi aleyh. Yes. And I told him, Efendi, oh yes, I saw your behind, and even in Holy Land. I said, okay, then you can help me. We know each other intimately in this room here, you know, but not as intimately as when I ask Allah Ta'ala for something, you know. I wouldn't say it even to the closest person to me, you know, what I you know, ask from Allah Ta'ala. So I mean that's the beauty of the dua, the closeness, you know, with your Lord. And again, you know, there's another hadith. Some of us, we complain, well, you know, I asked him and he didn't give it yet. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when Allah loves someone, he asks something from him, from Allah Ta'ala, then Allah says to his angels, delay what the servant whom I love wants from me, because I love to hear his voice. And when Allah Ta'ala is angry and hates somebody and he wants something, tells to the angels, quickly, quickly, give him what he wants, because I don't want to hear his voice.
Baba.
That's a hadith.
I'm most thankful at this stage to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I'm on the and I'm able to go.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's very intimate.
Very intimate. All praise to Allah.
Yeah. It's nice. You have a problem with your leg?
Yes, Baba.
Bad?
It's getting better.
So what's the problem?
Broke some ligaments.
Huh? And how did you do that, if I may ask?
I was jumping up and then coming down was not that good.
He played basketball with us.
Okay. I think you were sort of had some problem when you were playing basketball too the other day. What happened to you? Yeah. I remember.
I am better until tomorrow.
Maybe you people are a bit too old for doing this kind of things. Especially when you do that with young people, I think you get hurt.
Enver and I are old, but we are wise.
We wish we were wise.
I was 30 years old. We are in Casablanca in Morocco, and we used to go to a place called Ifran for skiing, and it's the winding road, one side of a precipice, and I love to throw big stones and start a, how do you call it?
Snowball.
No, not snowball.
Avalanche.
And I used to do that, you know, the stone is big as that, and you push it down and sort of gather and sort of it becomes big. And one day there was a stone which was about this big, you know. And so I'm trying to push it down the precipice. I got a backache. I mean, years it continued, but deadly. I mean, I couldn't move. So I wrote to my father, and I said, son, you cannot do many things anymore what you used to do. you are getting old now, 30, at the age of 30. Oh, how I was touched. I said, at the age of 30, I'm getting old. You cannot do many things which you used to do. Now I am 90. Yes, still feels bad, yeah. Yeah, my little daughter, she had her birthday. What is she, 47 or something? 40 what?
46.
46.
46?
Wow. I mean, she's old lady.
I remember one year. In the old days when you would come back from Konya, from Kanlajan, and when Daphne left, she was a little girl. When she came back, she was a big girl. We used to go to the airport to meet you. And there she went through that summer, she went from little to big, and beautiful.
Yeah, 47 now, old lady. Even her kids are not kids anymore.
3 o'clock in the morning. At the airport.
Well, there you are. My goodness, you see, she too. Look at her.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
She's a baby like this thing. She's a big, big girl now.
That's right.
And you have got all your teeth even. Yeah. Look, he's got kisses. All these kisses. So you're going with his father?
Inshallah.
On?
Wednesday night.
Oh, in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Bus.
How long are you staying?
10 days.
Yeah, yeah.
10 days, inshallah.
How long?
10 days.
10 days?
10 days.
Okay.
Bus you keep going?
Bir hanıma ders vermişsiniz. O burada şimdi, o bitirmiş dersini.
Bitirmiş,
onu haber vermeye geldi şey. Fatma.
İyi hatırlattın. Habibullah nerede? Böyle Habibullah. Baba, can you get a woman's tasbih and all the stuff?
Maybe this time we'll stay.
Ermeni kızımız.
Burada. Dersini yapıyor. Burada.
Ona kim? Hürgen vardı da.
Hareketleri biliyor şu anda.
Evet.
Fatiha'yı bitirmek üzereyiz.
Eyvallah.
You're in a Muslim country.
Tesbihleri
başlıyor. You'd hear it, yeah, 100 times.
5 vakit kılıyor mu namazını?
Hayır babacığım, bir sabah, sabah ve akşam.
Sabah ve akşam.
Evet. Every minaret.
Fatiha'yı öğrendi.
Son iki şey kaldı.
Onunla meşgul ol yani. Sure-i İhlas vesaire ya.
Eyvallah.
Ama işte Allah Allah lan kıl sen yani.
Öyle yapıyoruz.
Ona tesbihini verdik. Ona irşat verdik. Okuyor galiba inşallah.
Onu bilmiyorum babacığım.
He's missing.
Ha, genç öyle Türk'üş irşat dinler.
Evet. Olabilir evet. Verdik. Verdiniz.
Yüzü de.
Ne kadar ismi ya?
Selin.
Selin mi?
Selin.
Selin?
Lin.
Aha. Selin Hanım'a bir Türkçe irşat verdik değil mi?
Bildiğim kadarıyla babacığım. Sorayım mı? Hı? Sorayım mı? Bildiğim kadarıyla
var.
Evet.
Yok, var.
Başlandı.
Var. Var.
Yani sen görüşüyorsun.
Evet babacığım. Sabahleyin birlikteydik zaten bu sabah. Biraz daha çalıştık Fatiha'yı.
O yani zor bir şey değil. Artık öğrensin onları yani ezberlesin.
Eyvallah. Peki.